Okay, recording in progress. Good. Okay, well, welcome everybody. Let's go ahead and get the meeting started. It's 5:30 and time to get it going. Just want to get started with a call to order. So we'll do roll call. Jean, you want to help take roll call for us?
Sure. Matt Doyle?
Here.
Raymond Cooper?
Here.
Kevin Phillips?
Here.
Okay.
All right.
Forum of the directors.
Sounds like also we got a present forum.
Also present are Jeff Carter, district council, Mike Butler, water operator, Mark Adams, district engineer, and yours truly, Jeannie Trezina, administrative assistant. Carry on.
Awesome. Okay. So we're going to need to start by approving the resolution authorizing remote teleconference. I guess we've got to do this at every meeting. So I think it's, if everybody saw it in your packet, nothing's changed. Do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the resolution of the Durham Irrigation District Board authorizing remote teleconference meeting for the board for 30 days pursuant to the Ralph M. Brown Act and California Assembly Bill 351.
Second.
So we got a motion and a second. Any public comment? Seeing no hands raised, we'll go ahead and do a vote on that. Jeannie, you want to implement a vote?
All in favor of the resolution?
Vote we just because we're on the remote, we have to do a roll call. So
yeah, we have to do a roll call.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Chairman Doyle?
Aye.
Director Cooper?
Aye.
Director Phillips?
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, passes unanimously. Let's move on to the, Jeannie did the introduction, I guess, public comment. I'm not seeing any public. So we've got nobody to make any public comment. We've got presentations, which there are none. So let's move into the consent agenda. Do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Motion to approve.
We got a motion. We got a second by Director Cooper. Let's go ahead and do a roll call vote, Jeannie.
Chair Doyle?
Aye.
Director Cooper?
Aye.
Director Phillips?
Aye.
Chair Doyle, can I ask a question before we move on to the regular agenda?
Yes, please.
I was just wondering who is taking the minutes for this meeting, whether Mr. Carter or Jeannie is doing that.
Yeah, I forgot to initiate that to start out with that. So that's one of the things that we're going to bring up. Jeff, I was going to ask for your assistance in the meeting minutes until we get everything stabilized and what we're going to do going forward with the general manager. But is someone from your office able to help us out with meeting minutes for the foreseeable future?
Yes, we can do that. That'll be easily done.
Perfect. So we've got last meeting's recording and we'll have this meeting's recording. If you wouldn't mind having them do the minutes for both this meeting and the previous one, that'd be great.
Perfect. We will do that.
Thank you.
And then can I ask, what is the style of our minutes now? We have, instead of Cammie writing a whole story, she had a term for it where she could just edit the agenda. And,
yeah,
they're called action minutes. So
action minutes, that's it.
So if we could just do action minutes, that would be wonderful. And then having the recording behind it for any of the detail.
That action minutes is a lot simpler, right, Kevin?
That's correct. It just basically shows the agenda item and then action, what the action was on that agenda item, meaning the vote on that item.
And four. Okay. I'm good.
Jeff, does that make
yes. Uh-huh. Perfect.
Makes sense. Okay. Thanks.
Anything else, Raymond?
No, I'm good.
Oh, Okay, so we've got the consent agenda done.
Can I one question on that too? Jeff, do we need to have somebody actually taking action minutes during the meeting, meaning somebody that's recording on paper what the votes were?
I am.
Because I could do that. You're doing that. Okay. Yeah. I could do it too if you wanted me to.
No, I've got that.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Okay, so we've got the consent agenda onto the regular agenda. Nothing was removed from the consent. So a couple things before we get started.
I'm sorry. Technically, you'd want to table item 4.1 because it is the minutes from last.
Oh, I'm sorry about that, Jeannie. Yeah, you're right. So item 4.1 was tabled. We'll have the October and the November minutes moved into the December meeting. Jeff, is that okay?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Do we need to vote on that, or is that just a movement of an agenda item?
A movement of an agenda item.
Okay. Before we get started, I met with Jeannie this week, and we kind of went over a few things, so you'll see a little bit of a difference to the outline of the meeting. And one of the things that Jeannie and I went over is some of the things that she gets, a lot of the things in the mail or correspondence. Some of them are easily answered. They're a quick question answer thing. She takes care of them, but anything she has on there until we establish someone to kind of take on these bigger items, she's going to just add them to the agenda, and we're just going to look them over one at a time. It shouldn't take very long if you've looked through these. Pretty straightforward, but Jeannie just, in some cases, just wants us to be aware of them. In some cases, she needs some guidance on them. But we're going to look at them very quickly just to make sure we give her some direction.
I think that's a great idea. We certainly don't want to overwhelm Jeannie with stuff that was normally done by the GM. And I know it's probably going to add a little bit of time to our meeting, but we could probably whip through them pretty good and get through them. So,
yeah, and on top of that, Raymond, the things we looked at are really things that the board should probably be aware of, and some of them probably are going to require our direction. So looking at them in this meeting will eliminate any kind of confusion or just make it very clear to Jeannie on which direction we want to go.
Great.
Do you want to have Mike Butler do his report early so he can leave early, or?
That's fine with me. He's probably cooking something good on the stove right now. So Mike, are you there?
No, yeah, I'm here, but I got a 3 week old over here. So,
oh geez, congratulations.
Yeah. Congratulations there, bud.
Yeah, it's great. She's a little monster, but I'm really happy. So yeah. So for the operator log for the month of October, there really wasn't any, you know, pressing issues or emergency calls. It was a lot of just general maintenance stuff. I spent a little bit of time out at 9287 Midway. Customer was just having some pressure issues. I found some leaking irrigation valves on his side. And then I think what happened is 2 days later, I got a call, and he was just insisting that like the problem's on our side because he had no water. And I went out there, I pulled the meter, inspected it, all that jazz, and everything was fine. And then I found, I guess he had someone do some work for him, and he had a valve that was shut off on his property. So whoever did the work didn't shut his valve back on, turn it back on. So that was pretty much the most of it. I've been working on painting the plumbing in the library site. It was just old, and it's starting to show some corrosion. So I've been just kind of like wire wheeling it. It's about like, as of today, I'd say it's about like 80% done. It looks really great, and it's gonna probably help all that plumbing stand up, you know, a little bit longer. Let me see. I did meet with John from Durham Pump to kind of get an idea of what the tank job's gonna involve, and kind of surveyed a oak that's on site that's pretty much dying and needs to be taken care of and trimmed back, and coordinated with North Valley Tree Service to come get a bid on that. I'm pretty sure it's already been sent to you guys. And then I've gathered the John wanted a confirmation on where the spacing for the concrete pillars for the tank, like the measurements and everything. So I spent a little bit of time out at the light or the alley site at the end of the month, kind of getting some solid measurements in so he could get an idea of what we're working with. And that's it.
Mike, is that tree work? Is that the one we already approved from North Valley, or was that another one?
Yes. No, that's it.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's probably a good thing that it's getting taken care of. It's an old one. It's definitely a Widowmaker. So.
Oh boy, those are dangerous.
Yeah, I'm surprised it hasn't. You know, nothing's really broke off. Knock on wood. You know.
Yeah, it's good to get that out of there.
Yeah.
Then, okay.
Yeah.
Any questions for Mike? All right, Mike, anything else we need to know?
No, that's it.
Okay, well, with that, we'll probably let you get back to your three-week-old, and thanks for your update.
All right, thanks a lot, guys. Have a good night.
Okay, take care. Okay.
Thank you, Mike, and then again, congratulations.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Okay, so with my original statement in mind, let's go ahead and go to the correspondence item 6.1. It is included in your agenda packet. It looks like it's a.
To me, I'm fine with the acquisition.
On item 6.1.
Yeah. Are we going to go each line by line?
Yeah, I'd like to.
That's fine with me.
Just yeah. real quick, Kevin. It shouldn't take long.
I
kind of want to go through the.
Yeah, I agree with that. So I'm good with the basic to pace.
Okay, so you're good with that. We don't need a vote on that, do we?
It's a notice to you what's happening. You would probably need a motion if you objected to it, but since it's a transition, I think just acknowledging it is sufficient.
Okay.
So we've acknowledged. If you just gave it to us all, just presented as an informational item, and if there was something in there that required an action, either we have a problem with it or something that needs to be approved, then we could do that. But I would just roll through them and just as information items.
Okay. Well, item 6.2, the financial transactions that need to be submitted to the state controller's office. I would assume that's something that our finance person could help with.
Yes.
John Warren is working on it now. It's here for you guys to be aware of, because if he has questions, I can't answer them. And he just emailed me today saying that there are some questions that he needs answers. So I will do my best. I'll coordinate with Cheryl Bosman if she has records that are pertinent to his request. But it may be I need to tap someone else for the information he needs.
Look, yeah, I would just forward this on to the auditor, and they'll be able to file it for us.
Right, that's already been done. He's working on it, but yeah.
Yep, so that.
Okay, yep. That's item 6.2, 6.... What's that?
Nope, sorry, good to go.
Oh, 6.3 is the letter to EDD. Looks like we've got a balance credit, so that's a good thing. Item 6.4...
So 6.3 is failure to file a return. We're having an ongoing issue where... our payroll company is attempting to file a return. They're paying the taxes, but they also need to file a return. And it's being kicked out from EDD. It's very bureaucratic. And we get a refund from our payroll company because they attempted to pay it. And we've paid them, but EDD has not accepted it. It has to do with unemployment insurance and disability insurance. So for yours truly, your district's only employee. So I'm still working through it. I don't understand how it could be, you know, not working. Just so you know, I learned today that the district is, and unemployment insurance reimbursable category. So we don't pay into unemployment insurance. If an employee files a unemployment claim, EDD will take care of it, like they take care of all the citizens of California, and they'll send the district a bill for their for whatever they pay out on behalf of the employee. So just to be aware, like sometimes it looks like some decisions have been made, policy has been made, and you know who knows what board approved it, but that's the way it stands right now. I have no idea. Like it, we're not paying into disability, and that actually, like I don't anticipate being disabled from my work or you know either for. You know, for illness or anything, but like that's sort of an open issue.
Yeah, we might have done this when we and Raymond, you probably have a little more information. We might have done this before we had when we didn't have employees.
I don't think so. I don't recall any of this. This might be something that we might be worth having Jeff look into. I would think that we would want to pay into disability and unemployment insurance both because it's an insurance, you know? I mean,
I can kind of speak on this too. It could have been an election that was made many, 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 many moons ago to not pay into either one. If we're concerned about on the state disability side, the long-term disability, we can look outside for insurance policies on that. I'm not sure if we can opt back into the, we opted out early on. I think it was a decision that was made. And there is a lot of government agencies that are self-insured on the unemployment side of things because the normalcy of government agencies was there was not a lot of turnover so that the unemployment insurance was not really worth paying for because you were going to, if you paid actual cost, it would be less than the insurance based on your turnover base.
So we're kind of up against a decision that was made and then we didn't follow it up with a outside policy maybe.
Yeah. Or so an go ahead. Sorry, Jane.
Or a clerical error, because my understanding is that this payroll company paid for employees, like before CAMI, you guys had employees, right? You had your bookkeeper and such in-house. And I don't know if you had these delinquency reports, these missing reports back then. So to me, it's not clear that you didn't, you don't have it now, but it's not clear to me that you never had it.
Okay, so maybe more to come then on that one.
Go ahead. Yeah, Jeannie, why don't you and I get together and talk about it and you show me the documentation you have and then we'll give a follow-up report next month.
That'd be great, Jeff. And if there's something obviously that we're not, that we haven't elected and we need to go outside to get it, I think we'd all probably be a little more peace of mind if that was the direction that we needed to go research, at least we'd have something in place.
I couldn't agree more.
Okay, so that's item 6.3. We'll have Jeannie and Jeff get together. Item 6.4 from LAFCO, those are the election results. Item 6.5, the notice of the Tuscan hearing on December 2nd. So that's some new news. And then the state compensation insurance fund notice for renewal. Everything looked fine on this. The only thing I was wondering if Jeff, I don't know if you had a chance to take a look at this, but there's some old information on it. You know, Raymond's email address. I don't know if that's still a valid email address. We got classifications on employees, number of employees, and estimated annual payroll. That's doesn't look right. And also some titles on the directors look to be that we've shuffled around a little bit as well.
Let me take a closer look at that and correct it and submit it as corrected.
Perfect. So Matt?
Yeah.
Matt, I did go in and I corrected the email address. I changed the titles. It shows Matt Doyle as chair, it shows Raymond Cooper now it shows Raymond Cooper as director, Kevin as director, instead of as treasurer, it shows you guys as treasurer.
Okay.
And I also checked, because this is what we use to calculate our unemployment insurance coverage through the state insurance fund. I am not sure where the numbers came from under the estimated annual remuneration and payroll. You have one employee listed under water companies and a payroll of 3,600. That sounded to me like it was related to your stipends. So I checked with State Insurance Fund, with the guy who was going to audit the district last year. I sent him an email. I said, hey, how do stipends count as payroll? He goes, no, you all are listed as non-working. There's some language involved in it. Not covered, non-working, and non-paid. The stipend does not count as pay. So I adjusted that amount. I don't know why there's a classification for salespersons. There's two part-time people under that with a payroll of 10,000. I don't know what that is. And there's a clerical office employee. Clearly that's me. And that shows a payroll of 12,000. So I updated that to, I still kept it at two employees because you might want another part-time person. And I changed the payroll to my calculated amount, just based on 20 hours a week times 52 weeks.
Okay.
I don't know whether you need to include your anticipated, well, you probably won't. Your next GM is probably going to be contract also. So that they probably won't fall in there either. It will reduce your the quote on this. It'll reduce the premium for the workers' comp insurance because you won't. It looks like they calculate the premium based on these payroll categories at different, like that top line, the water companies.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're looking at the packet.
I am.
That payroll times 3.78 or 1.78 is how they calculate the premium. And the clerical person, because they're way less risky in terms of workers' comp, they're like 0.7 or something. So that does make a difference in the amount that you're paying on the premium.
So did you take water companies to zero and outside salespersons to zero and just left two in the clerical office?
I think I did. I'll go back and double check. I wasn't sure who was in that. I'm not sure who was classified as a salesperson for this district. Like
Raymond, this might have been when we had two or three people doing meter reading, you know, Denzel and those other guys that were doing meter reading and then we had the two in the office, and then probably 3,600, I think, was what Kevin O'Shea was charging us, but that was per month. So looks like this just needs to be cleaned up.
Okay, and then the last item on page 5 of that renewal information form.
Mm-hmm.
Everything on that were like it's a yes or no questions. Will you be getting more clients? Will you be assigning blah 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 new workers to clients, etc. All that's no. The thing that I'm concerned about is the last item. It's the blanket waiver of subrogation, and that is extra coverage that you can buy. Basically, you can. It's sort of like subrogation means like going after whoever you're making a claim against. And so
page 4 and 5 are blank. So.
Oh, I'm so sorry. If you go online, it's online.
Okay.
But it's.
Well, I can.
Page.
Okay. I would have to look it up on my phone. I can't see it. Can Raymond or Kevin?
I can share it if you want to look at it.
Is it that the 2% charge to our premium?
Is that what it does, Jeannie?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch the question.
It looks like if you elect that endorsement, it just adds 2% to your premium charge.
Correct.
I really don't know what that what that endorsement does for you, but if it's only 2%, it might be worth it. I don't know.
I think it requires more skill and more insight to answer whether you want that coverage or not, and how risky. I mean, workers' comp is covering me, right? I'm your only worker. I'm pretty sure. So you're not incurring too much risk with me. But if you have anybody out in the field, that would be covered under your workers' comp. Then I think it gets more tricky. But so I don't know. I don't have enough. I just know that this is something that you probably want to pay attention to, but I don't have the skill set to be able to give you any guidance on whether you should or shouldn't have it.
Matt, I think that what I am going to do is Jeannie and I will find a time. I think Jeannie's in the office maybe tomorrow and Thursday. I'm not certain, but I think what I'll do is meet Jeannie at the office and go over these forms with her and see if I can't bring some clarity to the to what's going on here.
Sounds good, Jeff. Thank you. I don't think we're opposed to upping the levels if need be, but it's just going to take somebody to kind of look through it, read it, and look at it, make sure it makes sense, and then we'll go forward with it. Thank you. Okay, that's the correspondence, and that'll get easier over time as we kind of whittle through those on a monthly basis and just kind of look at what Jeannie's got and just kind of FYI to the board and respond back if needed. So thank you. We've done the water operations business. Let's go ahead and go through district activities.
Can I ask a question before we move in on Matt?
Yes, please.
Jeannie, you mentioned that the fellow you talked to on the phone said that the stipends are not considered pay. Does that mean we won't be getting a W-2 this year, or?
They're not considered pay for workman's comp, but I'm sure the FTB and the IRS have a different opinion on your stipends.
Okay, all right, that's fine. Gotcha.
All right, item 8.1, district activities. Let's go ahead and go through that. We've got the update on the pressure tank replacement, terms and conditions, and preliminary cost estimate. Looks like we're authorizing North Star to look at the existing concrete supports. We talked about this before. Mark, do you have an update?
Yeah. Went out there and took a look at stuff. I think the way I'd like to approach this, and I don't know if there is a board member I could meet out there, and maybe one that's got some engineering background, and kind of talk through it a little bit, you know, kind of my ideas. There's the, there's the easy way to do this, the hard way to do this, and then maybe somewhere in between a practical way to do it. To analyze this, you know, and make sure that we're covered. So,
okay,
that would be great, Mark. Just let me know. I got my little office trailer here in Durham, so I can run out there pretty much anytime.
Okay, I might, like next Monday or Tuesday or something like that, meet you over there. You're gonna be you working next week?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And so I think that's, we took a look at the drawings that John Ryan from provided us, and they're basically welding three pieces together to make the tank. And they had the welds right on the two concrete supports. So we gave John dimensions to adjust the construction of the tanks. We don't want those weld beads sitting right in the concrete cradle. It would be a stress point on the tanks. We want the weld beads off in between the supports. That's the way it's built now. So really, I think if we can meet in the field tonight, we can come up with some the best way to document and deal with the structural analysis of it.
Are you guys ready to have a concrete provider come and talk to, or are you guys still specking it out for now?
I think it's, we've got a couple ideas on how to brace up the supports, and just want to confirm that we're, you know, we're okay there. And yeah, talk with Raymond about that.
Okay.
I think we would be ready then to give, you know, they've got the shop drawings pretty much. They just need to modify those. That shouldn't take too long. And then they, it would be placing that order. So, you know, making the financial commitment to the company that's manufacturing the tank, which is down in Southern California.
Okay.
You know, Jeff, I have access to a x-ray machine for locating rebar inside concrete.
Oh, really?
I don't know if we want to, we want to know or not, but
yeah.
It's kind of a glorified stud finder. Maybe I'll bring it out there. And
yeah, it might be good. I mean, it'll give us some just confirmation, because I mean, I'm kind of assuming there's steel in it. You just look at the supports; they're really good shape. They look like they were professionally constructed. You know, my assumption is there's steel in it. And if we had that, Raymond, we could just confirm there is, yeah. You know, we've checked, yeah. There's steel in it.
Yeah, I have a consultant here helping out on the bridge, and he happens to have, it's like a $2,000 stud finder, basically, is what it is. And it will locate through concrete. So I'm sure he'd let me borrow it.
Okay.
All right, Mark, anything else?
No, I think, you know, we can get that figured out, then we can keep, you know, well ahead of the critical schedule that Michael needs to get this thing replaced.
Sounds great. You guys have the action to get together next week and let us know.
Yeah.
Can I ask one question? Oh, sorry. Can I ask one question on that?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Have we already made action enough for Mark to be compensated for the time that he's spending out there?
Well, I think
I know we gave authorization for the tank up, I believe last board meeting. So I just want to make sure that there isn't anything that we need here to make sure that we're above board on the compensation portion of this.
I think in the past, Mark has worked almost as if he were general engineer for the district.
Okay, that's fine. I just remember that we had some thoughts on project management on this actual project, and I just didn't know if that was part of this or if it was just an open kind of engineering type of thing.
I had given Cammy, this was like 2 months ago or so, I'd told her a $3,000 not to exceed on the tank project.
Okay.
So I think there is some documentation back regarding
that. And I have no problem if we need to make a motion for that or if we're good to go. Either way, I just want to make sure that Mark's not wasting his time out there.
Well, we should probably approve that. I never saw that that estimate, but or at least I can't remember, but we should probably get that on the record. Jeff, what do you think?
Yes, I would do a motion.
Okay.
Mark, perfect. I'll make the motion to authorize I guess Jeannie to have Mark what are we going to say here? Mark for North State for investigation of the tank site for a not to exceed amount of $3,000.
Can we just say like for on-call engineering services? I thought that we were working towards that. Or we can be a little more specific if you want.
Either way, I just want to make sure that we're making sure we're above board.
Mark, does it matter to you?
Well, so we had a kind of a on-call services contract last year, and it expired. And pretty much every month, Cammy's been telling me I need to get the new one done for this year, and I haven't done it. So I could update that. for on call, but basically it also, I think we talked about, you know, for specific projects like this to do an individual budget to make sure, you know, yeah, the Brown Faber, the tank.
Yeah, more project based.
So I guess I can get that and work with Jeannie before the next meeting.
That'd be good. So do we want to approve that or wait until we get that?
Why don't we wait and see that at the next meeting?
Is that okay, Mark?
Matt? Yeah, that's fine.
So Matt, if you can just say my motion died, lack of a second, just so it's on the record.
Yeah, so we'll table that or let it die, and then we'll readdress it in the December meeting.
Okay.
If that's okay with you, Mark.
That's fine.
Okay. Thanks for your help on that, by the way.
You betcha.
Okay, so that, are you on the update on the bid package for Brown Faber Alley Main item B?
Yeah, and just kind of keeping the plate full with the trying to see, you know, how things shake out with the tank. I've got some documentation put together. Last time we talked, as far as a bid package, I can get it over to Jeff anytime to have somebody on his staff just do some wordsmithing on it. But I think it's just, you know, when do we want to tackle that second project when we're, you know, we're still trying to finish up this first one?
I know Mike really wants to get that piece of main replaced.
But yeah, he's like, hot and heavy on it.
But I feel like we need to finish up the, at least have the majority of that tank paid for and in place at least before we go out to bid again. I mean, that's my feeling.
So what are you saying, Raymond?
I say we table that until we get a little further along with the tank, stretch it out a little bit. Okay. That probably isn't what Mike wants to do, but.
Well, I thought the bid package really had to come down to just apples to apples, just putting it together as needed, because he got a quote from R&R Horn and another one from that other company in Durham. And it was like, they were totally opposite.
Yeah, that you're absolutely correct. And I think Mark can work towards getting the apples, getting the actual list together. I just hate to go out to bid and then having the contractor sit there, you know, for 6 months until we generate a little cash to have him go to work. And he isn't going to go to work while it's raining in that alley. So
he's also not going to hold his price for 6 months. Exactly. With the material stuff going on now, you know, the supply chain. So I think, I guess I was just, as far as, you know, what the district's overall capacity to write checks for two projects, you know, figured this tank replacement was primary, nail down the cost of that. And if everything looked good, you know, here, maybe right after the first of the year, go back on the alley and firm up our quotes from the contractors on that.
That sounds good to me. I think, like Raymond said, the only thing was Mike was kind of hot and heavy on that line replacement. But I think if we prioritize these pressure tanks, so this has kind of changed a little bit, because I think up until last month, we kind of had the Brown Faber replacement as priority one and the pressure tank priority two, and now it seems like it might have flip-flopped.
I think it kind of flip-flopped for Mike too a little bit, because there was some pinhole leak that kind of started showing up on that tank, and he was probably more nervous about that than he was the line. That's kind of my feeling.
Well, if you feel that way and he's on board with that, I'm fine with doing the pressure tank first. It sounds like that's a must have right away. So that's I'm fine with that priority.
Yeah, and the ball is rolling on that tank. So I mean that's gonna be a hard train to stop.
Okay. Well, let's keep it going.
Okay.
Okay, so we got that done. Let's roll into item C. We went out, Jeannie went out with a calendar request on doing our CIP planning meeting. It's gonna be tough to get all four, five, six of us together, but we gotta figure out kind of priorities on some of the stuff, and maybe we just made our decision on two.
Yeah, I think with the two that we got going, I forget why we decided all of a sudden that we wanted to, you know, have that workshop. I mean, I really think we could probably push that off till after the first of the year for sure, especially since we know what the next two, you know, CIP projects are, and they're pretty significant. So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like we went from having zero, now we've got two big ones on our plate. So it seems like they kind of bubbled to the top, where no matter where they were, they kind of just bubbled to the top. And I think we're probably going to be knee deep in those than these for the next, 2 to 4 months. And probably we've had our priorities set already.
I think the only thing to consider was Kevin brought up the idea going to the county for some of the stimulus or COVID money or something like that. And when's the next round of that? March?
They gave away pretty much everything on the first round. So yeah, it would be around March. So I think after the first of the year, I think we could be good.
So if we have a CIP meeting in January. So if we can come up with anything that we want to take to the county and talk to Kimmelshu and see if we can get some funds from the county.
Yeah, that might be a perfect, perfect item would be like maybe this whole meter deal, you know, maybe that would be a good project to bring that to them. So
yeah, we've been kicking off
the grant, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, we'd just be looking at some money to help us do the match.
Right.
So, okay, so we'll hold off on item C until January.
Would you like some information on the grant?
Yes.
Okay, so the extension that was in place was through December of this year, 2021. To request an extension, another extension would need to be done 45 days before the end of this second extension. So 45 days before December 31st. We're kind of like right in there. I sent an email to the to our contact at USBR saying that yes, we would like to request an extension. Are we still able to do so? Because if we're not able to do so, we won't be able to access that grant money. It'll be expired.
And you haven't heard back from him yet?
I just emailed him today because I was getting ready to file the report that was mentioned in by Cami in last board meeting. I had not had a chance to get to that yet. And I was looking at the dates, and because I was assuming we had an extension until next year, 2022. And then I was like, wait, what are these dates? And then that's when I checked with Cami to make sure I was reading that there wasn't some other extension that we didn't have documentation for. There isn't. That's the only extension that existed. It was through the end of this year, 2021. So she suggested I contact the USBR rep, which I did. He was very friendly about it. And I cited, you know, we have staff transition and we've had supply issues in being able to even get meters for our regular meter replacements and new service connections. So we'll see. But so if you're, anyway, so we'll see.
Well, that was a great catch. Thank you for catching that, because
that
certainly would have. So I would proceed in that section. I don't think you need any authorization from us to do that. I mean, that's just so. Let us know what they say for next meeting.
Thanks, Jeannie. Okay, item D, the lead service laterals. Review the status of the project activities. The lead service laterals, is this part of the CIP?
That's really well. Well, we were just talking about the grant money.
Oh, I thought it was for meter replacement, sorry.
I think that's they're married together, aren't they?
Yeah, there's part of our plan on the lead service laterals was with that grant money, we were going to go in and replace some laterals also to start whittling down, identify if we even have a problem, you know, document it. It was going to provide us a bunch of field data to deal with the lead service lateral issue.
You were going to do a survey of those while you were replacing meters?
We were going to be strategic in meter replacement locations, and we were going to sample, do them in locations where we had unknown service lateral types, and figured if we went through and documented, hey, we've dug up 12 service laterals in areas that we didn't have any data, and none of them had lead, then we're done.
Yeah. Since we need to be in there anyway, two birds with one stone.
Yep.
Okay. So we should put C on hold, combine the meter replacement with the lead service lateral replacement, and make that the new item C. Is that okay, Raymond?
Yeah, absolutely.
Jeannie, is that work?
Yeah.
Okay. Policies and procedures manual, consideration of a few items here. Does everybody have the appendix A, it's behind your state fund compensation. It's your rates, fees, and charges. Apparently, Jeannie, you were looking for clarification on these, as if we had, you were wondering on these if these were our official prices, correct?
Well, more than that, I know that the board approved these. That's why they're on our website as mm-hmm. a policy. What I'm not sure, I will say, very few of those fees have been implemented or applied to accounts. Like there's a meter reading charge that I could apply to a customer when they call and say, I think I've got a leak, and I send Mike out to do a reading and check it. I could charge the customer for that. I have not been. That was not my guidance when I started. I could be charging the meter read fee when I have a demand request, when there's a change in ownership. I have not been charging that fee at that time. Closing account fees. I've not charged any of these. So my question is, I can implement those in our billing system, but I think it'll be a shock to the customers if they start getting them. So it's more like it's more of like a management thing. It's not so much the mechanics of it. It's more the the finesse. Do you want to have an announcement that in 2022 we're going to be take a look at our policy, and our fees. Do you just want me to just start doing it? That's all. I can just anticipate the angry calls. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, just going back to that, I have a place in Willows, and I get people moved out, and we had some changeover, and all of a sudden I'm responsible for the bill. They aren't, and I got $14 for this and $11 for that, and all of a sudden the charges started to accrue on the bill. So Raymond, what do you, what's your thought? I mean, obviously you're the legacy member of the board here. Are we opening up a can of worms? We've always been a little reluctant to want to go down this path, but, the fact of the matter is the board did approve these, and, if we approved them, we should probably start giving Jeannie or whoever else the authority to start implementing them. What's your thoughts?
We are charging the meter and the service fees that are current, correct?
You mean new service connections?
No. Though it's on the first page of Appendix A. I mean, meter base rate fees. We're charging connection fees. We're charging usage fees for the year 2021, and we're going to raise them again in 2022. Correct?
Yes, correct. The fee for usage is these are the correct rates for usage, Jeannie. Is that correct?
Yes. I mean, yes. The only charge that I've been collecting, Raymond's right, is the new. I guess it's labeled flat rate conversion fee. I didn't know it was called that. When we install a meter on a flat rate account, people get charged for it.
So we've been charging page one. That's not in question. It's page
correct. Two, yeah, two, page three, one is good to go. The rates will go up. I will implement them in January to apply to the January water usage.
Okay, great. These other fees, I mean, I think we need to season them with a little common sense. But like what Mike just went through with this guy on Durham Dayton, where he's adamant that it's our fault and he's out there spending a lot of time, you know, trying to track it down for this guy, and it turns out being his fault. You know, he should probably get charged one of these fees, but we should probably let him know, hey, we're going to come out and check for your water leak, but if it's on your side, you're getting charged a fee. And if it's on our side, you know, you're not going to get charged that fee. And some of these, I think we can go ahead and probably start. I think we probably ought to start charging them.
Yeah, I mean, for that particular one you're referencing, Raymond, that would have been a service chip charge at $50, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you...
And so that kind of thing also means that, like, that's the other part of this, right? Mike needs to know that too, right? So that when he's talking to the customers as the face of Durham Irrigation District, he can let them know, because sometimes some of these calls he gets directly. They don't even come through the office here.
True.
So. Right. So, I mean, Do you have regular conversations with Mike? Does he check in with you every now and then during the week, Jeannie?
Yeah, I text him various requests. You know, when I ask for meter reads and such. But yeah, I mean, I can, and I email him. We don't talk too much though. But yeah, I'm happy to coordinate that with him. I just want, if that's what the board wants to start doing, then I will coordinate it. But our customers aren't used to it. And like, some of our customers are on really limited income. So I feel really bad when the little old lady calls, who's a flat rate customer, and she's like, I've got a leak. And I know Cammy and I both have a soft, you know, soft spot for that kind of customer. Well, like, you don't want it.
I do too. And I always felt like that was the benefit of the, you know, local control and being, you know, the small district, is we could, you know, kind of do some of this stuff. That's why I was saying it's got to be kind of seasoned with a little bit of common sense, but then it's hard too. Are you playing favorites? Are you, you know, because, you know, I mean, you know, it doesn't really cost us any more to have Mike do some of this stuff that he's good on hours, you know, so if he's doing it during the wintertime, it really doesn't cost us any extra. But if he has to do this stuff during the summertime, then it's costing us extra. So, you know, I mean, I would just make sure that if somebody called for some of this stuff, we need to let them know that, you know, this potentially could result in a $50 charge for them.
Well, and also, I mean, with that in mind, I mean, if the lady's having, you know, a challenge paying it, I'd be okay with extending the you know, not making her pay. I mean, it's $50. You know, if it's, she can't afford all $50. I mean, my soft spot's like, okay, just pay what you can. But you're right. I mean, either we have the rules or we don't, right? So it's not like we can go, well, this guy's got plenty of money, so charge him 50. And then that, it's just, that goes against, you know, we can't do that as a special district or whatever.
I just think that it needs to be transparent. So if I know, like, you have a write-off mechanism, right? And you can just, the charge hits the account, but then it gets written off. So that's like the transparency, so that the board, I mean, that, I don't know. I just think that's another mechanism you can think about using also.
Well, we could say if it's a hardship, and then that person could address the board at the next meeting, I guess. I mean, I don't know. Kevin, what do you think?
He's a hard ass.
Stop him down.
He's a hard ass. He'll shut him down.
Shut him down.
I actually am I'm the opposite way on this one. I think some of those service trips are what our base rate is about. So I think that there is some customer service that we have to basically give as part of being the district, yeah. You know? So I think defining what a service trip charge is, I think is a little bit more. If Mike is spending more than X amount of time that kind of triggers it, you know, that he basically can get to a point and go, look, if you want me to stay out here and keep looking for this, if it's on your side, it's going to charge you $50. Somewhere where there's a break point where it's past kind of that customer service and into a labor type of work order. So I see it kind of as twofold there. Because I think there's customer service is part of customer service is making the trip out.
Yeah. Well, I love that idea. I just don't know how to implement it.
And I think that you basically made it clear. I think it's a judgment call. I think that when Mike feels like that's turning into a service trip, then I think that's when he notifies the customer that this is going to cost an additional $50 for going. So, you know, I don't think we can truly define. There's certain things we can't define, and I think we give professional judgment to that one.
Well, I was, while you were talking, Kevin, I looked at this email that, or the update from Mike on this 9287 Midway. He spent almost 6 hours at this customer site, and you know, I think it, for the first, you know, half hour, hour and a half, or whatever, you know, reasonable amount of time, it's like, okay, no, it's not our side. We check the meter. You're good to go. Well, let's keep looking. Let's keep looking. No, that's still not right. Let's keep looking. You know, 5.5 or 6 hours later, it's like, if you want us to help out, then maybe there's that handshake agreement. Like, okay, if you want me to stay here, I will, but you know, the district makes me charge us out at $50 an hour or whatever.
Absolutely.
So that there's some kind of an agreement, like, okay, yes, I want you to stick around and help me. Okay, you'll know you're going to be billed for this kind of thing.
Yeah.
But you're right. I mean, if somebody comes by, calls and says, hey, will you come by and see if water's flowing correctly? I mean, we have one here that's $50, but I really find it hard pressed to want to go back and send them a bill if it's, you know, if it's just us stopping by and taking a peek.
Yeah, I agree. And I think even if you're, you know, let's say an old lady or not, let's say a 39-year-old male that lived on Dillon Court had a pipe bust in their backyard that had no idea how to turn their meter off and call up the district to come turn it on or turn it off for me, I think that's a customer service call. I don't think that's a service trip charge. You know, if I have them going out and looking for the leak with me, I think we've turned it into a service trip charge. So kind of those balances there, I think, is where I'm going.
Was that at your house? Is this a personal, is this something that happened at your house? Because we're going to charge you.
It's personal experience, exactly. That's why you hire people that have had dealings with Durham Irrigation District.
All right, so let's maybe advise Mike to common sense it, and if he's spending more time, I think he just needs to get an authorization that an understanding that there's going to be some charges if he sticks around and continues to help, but I think the initial stop is on the house.
Yep. So I'll go through these other ones. Sorry, Raymond, go ahead.
I was just going to say, on that one in particular, would you like me to just kind of update Mike with that? On that?
Please.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Please.
So on some of these other ones, like delinquency, closing account fee, lock-off notice, 15-day delivery, disconnection fee, reconnection, return check. To that line there, I have no problem charging that anytime that happens.
Okay. The only thing we don't have is a sealed meter. So I guess.
Right. We don't have that. So I think that's going to be something we're going to have to get into there. Meter inspection and testing, I think that's something, again, back to Mike, giving him kind of ownership of that.
Jesus. He's yelling at him right now.
I know. He
was yelling at my son, too. Transfer of ownership, charged every single time is what I think. The backflow testing fees, obviously, and then meter tampering, again, that goes in subjective. And meter removal and rail installation, I think. Again, I think that's a little subjective on that, but kind of give Mike the kind of area of expertise in that one.
Okay. I'll touch base with him this week and go over some of that stuff with him.
Yeah, and if you wanna do something on the backflow or the sealed meter, we could, if you guys want to talk about that, Raymond, maybe we can get that on the next agenda if you guys come up with something.
Well, I guess, is that a Prop 218 thing?
That's what I was going to ask, too. I think it is.
Anybody have any?
I'm going to say yes, that it's a Prop 218 because it's a charging a parcel a fee associated with water.
So if it is, then we just need to capture that in our next rate increase, which should be coming up here.
That's what I think that's probably the cleanest way.
So we would address that in January?
Well, we're going to have to do another.
In our new Prop 218. Okay, sorry. Yeah. Sorry. Okay, good. Anything else?
Does the council concur with that?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
All right, item F, development projects. Jeff or Jeannie, do you guys have an update on our development projects?
I have no update.
No update either.
Okay.
I understand that the Keeney subdivision is moving again. I saw it on the Planning Commission agenda. I don't recall what happened there. Do you remember, Mark?
I sat through the meeting by Zoom, and it was approved. And the condition was that the service agreement with us would be executed. Everything that we wanted, the looped easement to the southwest edge of the subdivision. Was approved. However, they're going to come back again in December and review it because there's a notion that maybe they need to loop back over to, help me, what's the road next to the levee?
Stanford.
Yeah. Is that right, Mark? Are they going to be looping back to Stanford?
We don't have anything on Stanford.
We don't, but they, for traffic purposes.
They might. Oh.
They want to put a road in there.
They're thinking of having Stanford Lane connect over to the subdivision, which would allow people on Stanford Lane to exit through the subdivision to avoid proximity to the bridge.
Mm.
Apparently, that's a dangerous intersection if you are coming out of that intersection and turning west into Durham.
Yeah, it is.
And so there was some notion, and the developers seemed to have no problem with that, thought I thought that would be appropriate.
So that would be putting a bridge across Butte Creek.
No. Just like a road by Gale Vineyards, like
through yes.
that area. Oh, yes. Cool.
So it will be back on the planning commission's agenda in December.
Okay. I did not see where the proposed well site or where we would be getting the deeded property, but Mark told me that it was in some document that we needed 100 by 100 or something.
Yes.
100 by 100, that would be pretty big. Something smaller, a little lot.
Yes, everything we had asked for in our service agreement was conditioned, the approval was conditioned upon that.
That's surprising if that happened. I haven't seen the residents with their pitchforks running around, so it's kind of, maybe word hasn't got out.
They wore them down.
Okay, anything else? All right, annual audits 2019 and 2020. We can review the status. Jeannie, it sounds like you had talked to our auditors today.
Hey, Matt, this is Mark. I'm going to step out. I don't see anything else on the agenda that you need me for.
No problem, Mark. Raymond, anything? Kevin, anything else for Mark? Jeff?
No.
Nope. All right.
Thank you, Mark.
All right. Adios, guys. Thanks.
Talk to you later.
All right. Bye.
Bye. The audits, Jeannie, did you have an update on that?
No. John Warren is working on it on the 2019 audit and hasn't finalized it yet.
Okay. Also, you had on here, which I think was a part we've talked about in the past, is the RFP for our 2021 audit. We've talked about that numerous times. I believe we had an RFP at least typed up and ready to distribute. I don't know if it ever got distributed, but I think for 2021, we have to switch auditors. So I thought it was 2020 maybe, but anyway, 2021, we got a switch. Kevin, you gave us some names a while back. We've got an action here where I think we need to move forward with, which is finding a new auditor.
Yeah, I have lists of auditors that we can send them off to. Special districts, you can post it on, I think, their website, their RFPs. But Jeannie, do you know if you have an RFP already developed?
I drafted one. I wasn't too happy with it, but I wasn't unhappy with it. But I don't know, like, I guess I didn't know the details, like what years you actually needed it for, how long a term it was going to be, where you wanted to post it to, or you're just going to give it to certain individuals that you know or firms that you know are familiar with. I don't know what the proper procedure is for a fair procurement process for an auditor.
Okay, I can help with that.
That'd be great, Kevin. Because I thought it was 2020, but maybe it is 2021 where we're outside the 7 years. So we've got to make a switch.
I think you're right, Matt. And I'm not certain it's seven. I think it may be fewer than seven. So we do want to get onto this. And I'll double check that.
Okay, that'd be great, Jeff, because I think, yeah, I don't want to be out of compliance and raise any more red flags.
Yes.
So what I have is a draft text from PID, I assume that's from Kevin, and that's file dated November 2019, so a year ago, 2 years ago, and then I have one, I think that's the one I drafted, is from April of this year. I think I worked off of the PID one, but I don't actually remember. So how do you guys want to proceed?
Can you contact Special Districts Association, see if they have a a procurement site that is free to the members. And then I can send you a list of audit firms if we needed to send direct.
Good. Good idea.
And is anyone going to review the RFP before?
Kevin will.
Kevin will. Okay.
Thank you. If you can send it over, I'll just email it over to me. I'll try to take a look at it tomorrow.
And Jeannie, copy me with that too, please.
Okay.
Okay. Let's go on to item H. Ongoing tracking of operational administrative projects. Jeannie, did you have anything in particular you wanted to go over?
No, I think that this is all, I mean, a lot of this was from Cammie's list.
Okay, so if there's nothing on it for us to discuss, or does anybody else have any recollection or anything that they want to discuss on this one? If not, we'll just go ahead and take it off and start fresh. Nope. Okay, item I, add credit card authorization. So what I talked to Jeannie about is we gave authorization, I believe it was for, was it for $500? $1,000? Do we recall? For the use of the credit card. And what I'm wondering is do we want to allow or authorize Jeannie to have the same level now that she's kind of the only one in the office. Do we want to allow her to have the same authorization, which I don't know, I can't remember what we authorized. So we might want to just talk about it now and put a number in place and vote on it.
I'll throw one out. I authorize the amount of credit card transactions up to the spending limits of the general manager.
So do you have an idea, Kevin? Do you remember, recall what it was?
Probably 10,000.
So
what's the difference between a credit card transaction and a check?
You don't need approval to do the
credit card. She's got the spending authority. She can spend it, right?
Okay. Yeah.
No, I don't know what the spending authority is without board approval, but that's what I'd authorize the transaction to be.
So a $10,000 limit. Now we need to say, what do we want her to get authorized? What amount do we want her to get authorized before she spends?
Whatever our purchasing policy states, which I don't know, Jeff, do you recall?
Jeff?
I'm searching my mind, no, but I'm sure I have it in file notes. So I will definitely check that.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, what I see or what I envision, Jeannie, correct me if I'm wrong, is little stuff that comes up. I mean, the website needs to be reapproved and it's, you know, $99 or $200, or I would probably say no less than 500, but I'm just throwing that out there.
So right now the district doesn't have any credit accounts that I know of. And the card that we're getting is a debit card off of our bank account. I hope it hasn't arrived yet, so maybe there's some hang up on it, but that was the only piece of plastic I was intending on using. And yes, Matt's right, it would be for just like paying for Zoom, paying for Adobe Acrobat, mostly paying for software.
Okay, well, I would say minimum of 500 and, you know, maximum of 1,000, Jeannie, just because, you know, we got to kind of at least want to, anything too big, like a computer purchase or something like that over that limit, I think we'd want to be able to approve it before you go forward, just for fiscal responsibility.
So do you want to make a motion on that?
Yeah, I guess we should. Well, Jeff, do you want to research the amount?
Yeah, or
should we...
let me do that. I think we've crossed this bridge before, I think, Matt, as you recognize, and I'm trying to remember what we did, but I don't have my recollection right now.
Okay. Well, maybe you could research a little bit, and then we could put something in place, even if we had to get together for 2 seconds and approve a number here.
Exactly.
For Jeannie to move forward once the credit card. I just don't want to be a roadblock on progress for Jeannie to just sit there and be waiting for approval. Give her some leeway to get some stuff done.
Agreed.
Okay. Item J, website status report. Jeannie, you wanted to give a quick update?
It should be in your packet. It was just the traffic to the website, which I'm looking for it. Let's see. It was just basically a downward curve. I made a nice little bar chart and everything. I'm not sure. I think it ended up at the very back of the package. Yeah, so it went from a little over 5,000 views in January to a little over 1,000 views. Well, call it a little over 3,000 views in October, because November is just a partial month. So not too much traffic going on. The system we have doesn't tell us what page people are going to. So.
Okay, good information to know anyway, huh?
Yeah, it could be related to kind of the Tuscan stuff and the Vina GSA. So people are kind of, I see a lot of chatter on Nextdoor. People are kind of fired up about that stuff. So they could be looking on our website to see if things were happening. That seemed to kind of peak here a month or so ago.
Yep.
Before we move on to 8.3, can we back up to item E5.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Sorry, Raymond, you're right. We missed that one.
And I think we have a sheet in our agenda package.
Yeah, I think we were.
Everybody can take a look at that.
I think I was a little bit surprised to see that we've got some. Pretty serious delinquent accounts right now.
So it looks like we missed our opportunity to turn these over to the county for the lien, Jeff. Was that supposed to happen in June and we missed that?
That would probably be in June, yes.
Okay.
You have to submit them prior to the end of June to get them, because of course the lien is imposed in July.
Okay. Because we have a pretty robust billing policy, right? We refined it a couple times. And I think it said that become June, if you owe us money, you better be paid in full or we're turning it over to the county. And judging by the couple people who have balances in the neighborhood of $2,500, $1,500, $1,400, six over $1,000. I mean, you should probably pay attention to that.
It probably wouldn't hurt to have your attorney write me nasties to these people.
At least top 10. Anybody over $500. For sure.
Okay, I'll get that out.
Go ahead, Jeannie, sorry.
I would just say starting in January, just at least on district letterhead, not attorney letterhead just yet, a well-worded letter informing customers of our policy and the ability of the district to put a lien on their property. That's the way I would not start out of the gate with an attorney letter. Because we haven't done anything to notify these folks that we're at all upset about them not paying their bills, except to just keep sending their little postcard out. No extra letters. Every now and then I'll put a sticker on the card saying, "Did I miss a payment?" Or please contact the office about your accounts receivable. That's all. So I just think I think, Jeff, if you can give me some wording for an initial letter, I will. I'm happy to send that to our customers. And then you if we need to, then we go to the attorney in your time, and then we go to the lien process.
Do you want to send that to the delinquent account, or do you want to, are you planning on sending that to everybody? I mean, because I would say you could put a reminder to maybe a link on the card. I just don't want to do a mailer for 500 people if we have to.
I do not intend to mail to every single customer that. No, I mean this finite list. Yes, and then just to have like a pre, like. Moving forward, if somebody misses three payments in a row, have a letter template that I can send out, or even just like kind of like a, you know, just a flyer type thing that I can send to them with that extra effort on my part.
And then can we all agree that maybe by the end of, if those who haven't come current by say March, have Jeff send a letter, so they have 3 months to make amends before, so they're not surprised in June when Jeff sends them the letter saying we're going to put a lien. Maybe
that sounds good.
Maybe you do the soft letter right now. Jeff does a letter at the end of March saying you're notified by our district in December of 2021, and just to remind you, in June, we're going to turn it into the county for a lien.
Sounds good.
That sounds perfect.
Okay.
Thanks, Raymond.
Can I ask a few questions? Please. Jeff, are we still not allowed to go lock out these customers?
No, that moratorium, I believe, has ended.
So we can lock these customers out? Uh-huh. Well, that would be my first realm is, Jeannie, I love your heart and I agree with you that we have to be kind, but if I hadn't paid my bill in 2 years, I think I would understand that I'm missing something here in my life. So that there, people have to understand that they're not paying their water bill here. So for some
top,
of these,
at least for the top, I would 10, tell, Kevin.
I would give these people 40. I don't mind paying a little bit of extra money if we need to, but I would give every one of these 48-hour notices that we're going to lock you out, or at least start the process of the. I guess we have to do the 10-day notice first. I would start the 10-day notice on these individuals as their nice letter to them. And as those numbers come down into a 48-hour notice, and I would go and lock every single one of these people out, at least, like you said, the top 10, Matt. This is ridiculous.
It's really crazy. I mean,
can we review our billing policy to make sure that is what, that is the proper steps. I mean, I'm all about it, but it seemed to me when we found out that we could turn these over to the county, we kind of all just kind of wiped our hands and went, wow, we don't have to do lockouts anymore.
Because exactly.
That was quite a challenge for our operator to run around and turn them off, and then people were turning them back on. And
that's right. We did do that.
Yeah, I thought we eliminated that, but I'm not positive.
You're correct.
Because I don't see that in our fees either.
Yeah, I think we did. I think we punted on that one because it was becoming so difficult. Is there any way, Jeff, to put in a notice of lien, or at least record a lien on some of these properties? I'm just afraid 9216 is going to be sold out in front of us and we're going to lose that money.
Yeah,
there's a stopgap for that, right? Because I hear they're moving. They want to move. So isn't there some kind of stopgap there? They can't close escrow or something unless it's...
That's what I want to make sure that we get that one, at least so that...
Most escrow companies on a sale, when they learn that they're in Durham Irrigation District, I think either the escrow company will inquire or will direct the buyer to inquire.
That's true.
So I think maybe what we want to do is confirm with the escrow companies whether they do in fact check the standing, because otherwise our only recourse is against the property for an unpaid bill. And that's why title companies do that normally. I'm going to check with an escrow company tomorrow and see, but I'm sure most escrow companies will make certain that the balance is paid current. Otherwise it'll be paid through escrow and prorations will be made.
Okay.
Now, locally, Bidwell Title is really good about contacting me, Fidelity National and Mid-Valley and Timios. I get demand requests from all those title companies
on a regular basis.
And what happens when people are involved in an owner carry situation?
I beg your pardon, Raymond, I couldn't hear you.
In an owner carry situation, I happen to notice that Jerry Walters is listed as on 9391 Midway, which is, I understand he's selling that too.
It would seem to me that if an escrow were still involved in a transaction, that the notice would still go out. I think maybe what you're saying is, what happens if it's an owner sells it and it's a contract of sale and title doesn't transfer until the last payment is made, and the owner is still responsible, basically. That's the person who has the contract with us for the service. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe a letter to these people by the district, sending our billing policy to them. Jeannie and I can work on that. And letting them know that that this is our policy, and we really would hope that they would pay attention to it. And by the way, your outstanding balance right now is this, and we ask that that you immediately contact us and let us know what you're going to do. And Jeannie could work with these people. I think it sounds as if Jeannie's having a good relationship with some of these people, working with them. And maybe a letter from the district by Jeannie, administrator. I think that would be probably a good first step, and alert these particular customers that this is our policy, and we can't turn a blind eye to these much longer.
Okay,
this is gonna be great.
Does the balance include the penalty, Jeannie?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, let's do it, Jeff.
Good. And Jeannie and I'll work on that.
Okay. Moving on to 8.3. Options for general manager of the district, including but not limited to potential general manager replacement and advertisement. I guess we can kind of open it up for discussion. We've got obviously a transition period with Cammy leaving and whatever we're going to do next. We've got job descriptions for everything if we want to go that direction, but just wanted to see what the ideas or thoughts are on moving forward and what we want to do and how we want to progress. I mean, we don't have to come to an agreement. It's, you know, going into the holiday season, we probably wouldn't post anything maybe until after the new year anyway. But I mean, here we are in November and we got to start at least kicking it around and seeing what our thoughts and ideas on this. I don't want to speak for Jeannie, but I've talked to her about it and she's happy with where she's at. Jeannie, please jump in if I miss something. And so she's happy with what she's doing and where she's at. And I think that it would be on us to, as a board, to consider a replacement to the general manager position if we wanted to go that direction. So I'll kind of open it up for comments and see what everybody thinks.
Matt, can I discussed this briefly with Mark, if he knew of anybody. I wish he were still on the line, but he was going to give us some thought. You know, perhaps somebody in his office, he was thinking, might be able to step in. I think Jeannie, from what I'm seeing over recent months and particularly tonight, I think Jeannie has a good grasp on the functions of the district and how to maintain them. And I think Jeannie, in my opinion, would be a good management candidate with were she interested in doing that. But it might be that somebody could step in either through Mark's office and help guide her when she needed. Fritz McKinley, I think, was a name that came to my mind. He was a former City of Chico department head. He left town and went, I think, over to the coast somewhere and worked over there. He, I think, is doing contract work with Mark, also Robin or Nicole in his office. So my thinking, and as we were going through the meeting tonight, it became apparent to me that probably your staff and your professionals could better serve you were we to meet the week before the board meeting, perhaps even before the agenda is done. And that would be Jeannie, Mark, and I, and maybe the chair, Matt, would sit down and just make certain that we've got everything squared away. And that'll get us through the holidays. I can follow up with Mark. I think, Jeannie, if you aren't adverse to it, I think it would be appropriate for Mark and I to sit down with you and just troubleshoot how best the three of us can work together to make certain things aren't falling through the cracks.
That's good to me.
I love that idea. And I think, in the time between the meeting and the week before the meeting, you know, Matt or I could be available to, if a question pops up, you know, and, I just don't want to leave Jeannie in any kind of limbo where she's, you know, doesn't know what to do next or doesn't know, you know, feels like she needs to run this by or something by somebody. Certainly Matt and I are available as well.
Good. Good. Why don't, Jeannie, if it sets with you, why don't we plan the week after Thanksgiving and I'll talk to Mark and we find a date. Now, what days are you at the office?
Monday through Thursday.
And what times?
Monday, Tuesday. Wait, hang on. I always forget which day is the longest.
I think it's Tuesday.
So Monday 9 to 2, Tuesday 9 to 4 or 10 to 4, Wednesday 9 to 2, and Thursday 9 to 12 or 2.
Good.
So sometimes if I have my hours in, I leave.
I will.
I think honestly, when I was talking to him, I'm just going to jump in here because I'm just a chatty Kathy on Zoom. The big decision I thought when I was talking with Matt was like, are you going to fly the job or are you going to hire a recruiter? Or are you going to, you know, just hand it off to somebody known and trusted? So just throwing that out there too.
So, Jeannie, I'll try to set up a meeting with Mark and you and Matt, if you're available, set in with us and let's just brainstorm this. And then we can report back to the board in December.
Yeah, I've been having a lot of luck kind of checking in at the morning at my office and then getting back over and seeing Jeannie sometime around 10. So if you guys want to meet at 10 in the morning, Monday through Thursday, she's typically there, and I think it's a good time for all of us to meet.
Perfect. Let's plan it the week after Thanksgiving.
That'd be great.
Good. I'll take the lead on that.
Thank you, Jeff. Kevin, do you have anything else to add, or are you good?
Go with that.
Okay, let's move on to the attorney report. Jeff, you got an update?
The Kinney Ranch, and I'll report back after the next 40, Planning Commission meeting, but that seems to be going smoothly. The one thing I do want to remind you of, on the March ballot, we will have the button initiative. And so I think we ought to plan early next year, probably late January, February, a district meeting at the Memorial Hall to just go over some rate issues and what it costs to operate the district, and present the clean glass of water against the dirty glass of water that Button's trying to get the district residents to vote on. So nothing we need to do now, but I think we ought to be looking at that sometime in late January, early February.
I think that'd be good, Mark, and it'd probably be a good idea to, Jeff, to get Mark involved and have him start maybe to put together some stuff, some slides or some stuff on, the things he did for that last Prop 218.
Exactly.
So I think we should probably get him thinking about that sooner than later.
Good, I agree.
Thank you, Jeff. Vina GSA, Raymond, do you have an update for us on what's going on that side?
Sure. The public comment period just closed for the draft GSP, Groundwater Sustainability Plan, which is due to be submitted to the state in January. We held a public hearing last night, received many, many comments. There's definitely a voice out there of a group of people, and it includes about half of our SHAC committee that are generally upset about our minimum thresholds and operating range being set too low, and we took comment last night, and it was voted on by the board that I think the general feeling was that we needed to set these minimum thresholds and measurable objectives at levels that would allow us the opportunity to make corrections to our basin rather than setting these goals too high, so to speak, and then not being able to meet what was presented in the plan. And that is kind of what passed. And I think there's some unhappy people about it. So we'll see. We have a meeting in December where we're going to potentially adopt the plan, and we'll see what happens.
Okay. Wow. Lots of fireworks, it sounds like. All right, any other director's comments? Kevin or Raymond, any comments?
Yep, just thank Jeannie for picking up slack and doing so much work. I really do appreciate all of her hard work and her detail.
Yeah, I've been trying to stay in touch. There's a lot of stuff, so my appreciation, Jeannie, to you as well for doing everything you do. Thank you.
I would like to say that that this was probably a particularly productive meeting, and one of the better ones we've had in recent times. I feel like we've got a lot accomplished in a reasonable amount of time. And I appreciate that, Jeannie. Matt, I think you and her did a great job outlining this agenda. We clicked right through it, and I think we got a lot of questions answered well before 7:30, so I'm happy.
Yeah, we kind of anticipated this taking a little longer just because of the new format with putting all the items on here that Jeannie's had and seen in the office, and then the other stuff that just needed to be updated on. So we knew this was going to take a little bit longer, but I think we'll kind of get back onto it in a more streamlined fashion. But I anticipate this until we get somebody who's going to, you know, be a general manager or to take on these questions. I would imagine to give Jeannie guidance, we're going to continue to put those items on the agenda and go through them in rapid fire succession, just to give her some guidance, you know, for the coming month.
Sounds good. I like it.
Thank you for that. All right, Jeff, anything else on your end?
None.
With that, I'll adjourn. Thank you, guys. We'll see you next month.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving to you guys. Thank you, Jeannie. Nice job.